Please join me in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for the opportunity at life and the ability to praise you for creating us, sustaining us, for sending your Son to die in our place on the cross, for displaying your power through the resurrection of Jesus Christ 3 days later, and how he's ascended now to his throne of glory, where all authority in heaven and on earth belong to King Jesus. We thank you for this knowledge and information because it is far too wonderful for us, Father. So we ask in our heart of hearts that we sing praises to you with our lips, with our bodies, but let them come from our hearts and minds first, Father, recognizing that you are holy, holy, holy. You are holy unlike your creation. You are creator, separate from distinct, where your throne is built upon righteousness and justice, Father. We ask that we have our eyes open to the heavenly worship that's taking place, where upon your throne of glory, angels in heaven sing your praises continually, Father. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, Almighty. Father, help us have this kind of wondrous posture on earth as it is in heaven. Father, give us wisdom to walk as children of the light, not as children of the darkness, but children of the light, recognizing that you are our King, our authority, our Lord, our Savior, Father. We ask for ears to hear your word. Father, we understand that the prophet Amos spoke to the nation of Israel, telling them that you sent a drought, dried up the bread, dried up the rains, and yet the people did not turn to you. The prophet Amos tells us that you sent a plague. You sent a plague upon the land, similar to what you did with Egypt, and the people did not turn to you. Help us not be like that. Help us be people who respond to your voice, Father, your word, with joyful obedience, Father, recognizing that it is the very voice of God speaking to us. Help us grasp the opportunity we have to gather together in fellowship, to open the Word of God, to proclaim the Word of God. We love you, Father. Without you, we are nothing. We can do nothing, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do hope and pray that you have ears to hear the Word of God, hearts and minds that understand the Word of God, and that you respond to the Word of God, bearing fruit of faithful obedience. It's a continuous prayer I have for us as a community, because God does not leave us here to wander around on earth blind. He has given us His Word to be a light to our path, to guide us, to lead us. Hear the word of the Lord. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." In order for us not to be a hindrance to the Lord Jesus and the church that he is building, we must heed Jesus' warning to Peter here. We must set our minds on the things of God rather than on the things of men. Right? Thanks be to God that Jesus tells us how we're not to be a hindrance to him with the next verse. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? We must grasp deep down in the fiber of our being that Jesus is building his church his way. And in order for us not to be a hindrance to the Lord Jesus and the church that he is building, we must pick up our crosses daily and follow the Lord Jesus. Right? In order for us not to be a hindrance to the Lord Jesus, we must submit to his rule and follow his example. These are the two words that we are going to focus our attention on today that I do hope and pray will shed some light as to how we are to walk as children of the light in the world, right? But not of the world. The first word is submission. Submission, right? As children of the light, we submit to the rule and reign of Jesus. He is our King. The second word is example. Example. As children of the light, we follow Jesus' example. He is the standard. We follow Jesus' example. Submission and example. Right? The cost of discipleship is to submit to the Lord Jesus and follow his example. It's plain and simple. Right? In order for us to walk as children of the light, we must submit to the Lord Jesus and follow his example. In order for us not to be a hindrance to the Lord Jesus and the church that he is building, we must pick up our crosses daily, following the Lord Jesus. Now, I see that there's a problem with this statement. Maybe it's out of my youthful ignorance. I don't see any crosses in the back of the room that we're supposed to pick up as we leave this building. Do you? And if there's no crosses for us to pick up, how are we supposed to follow Jesus? Right? How do we pick up our crosses to follow the Lord Jesus if there's not a literal cross here in the back of the room for us to pick up? Now let's imagine for a moment that I am this young Christian that doesn't understand what Jesus is saying. Right? Having heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and believe Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, right now I ask you, right? I ask you personally, what's next? How do I not be a hindrance to the Lord Jesus? How do I become a follower of Christ? Do you tell me I'm free to return to the passions of my former ignorance? Certainly not. Do you open the Bible, right? Do you point me in the right direction to walk as a child of the light along the narrow road of faith? Right? Do you open the Bible to show me where we are supposed to submit to the Lord Jesus and follow his example? From the Apostle Peter, live as people who are free. Free. Not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Jesus does not want Peter to be a hindrance to him. Jesus does not want us to be a hindrance to him or the church that he is building. And we should also not want to be a hindrance to Jesus or the church that he is building. Right? Having tasted and seen that the Lord is so, so good, we should want to do what is right and pleasing in the sight of our God. Right, by setting our minds on the things of God, we learn what God wants, and then God gives us the desires of our hearts. Right, in other words, when we set our minds on the things of God, God changes us from the inside. The way we think and the way we act begin to reflect this profound relationship with the Lord our God. Right, so how could we set our minds on the things of God? Are two words, submission and example. Jesus is the example for us in how he demonstrated perfect obedience to God the Father. Jesus demonstrated perfect submission to God the Father. So allow me to be as clear as possible for us. Jesus is not in agreement with the devil. Light has absolutely no fellowship with darkness. I would like to think that this is obvious to all of us. But history teaches us otherwise. Look no further than on our text that we just heard from Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus calls Peter Satan, right? And then proceeds to tell him that he's a hindrance to him because his mind is set on the things of men, rather than on the things of God. Righteousness has no partnership whatsoever with lawlessness. Right? As children of the light, we have a God-given role to fulfill within the kingdom of God, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is building his church his way. Now, as the church, our priorities must reflect God's priorities, because this is God's kingdom that we're part of. And the way in which we fulfill these roles is to submit to the Lord Jesus and follow his example. So in as clear a voice as I can say, Jesus is building his church his way. The Bible is our rule and measure for truth. There is a plan and purpose for everything that God does. One of the ways in which we guard ourselves against the schemes of the devil is to use the Bible to be our authority and guide, and then do what God says to do. Right? If God said it, that settles it. The Word of God is not open for debate. Well, I guess you can debate, but you're debating against God. You won't find me doing that. We would do well to submit to the Lord Jesus, doing what he says and following his example. Right, so in order for us to kind of narrow our focus today as to how we are to submit to the Lord Jesus and follow his example, we're going to focus our attention on the Apostle Paul's words to the elders at Ephesus. In other words, we're going to open the Bible so that we can learn what God has revealed to be true, so we can follow Jesus in the light of his truth. Right? The way in which the church stands against the schemes of the devil is to build upon solid rock, opening the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, and then doing what the Word of God says to do. Hear then the voice of the Lord. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Leaders lead by example, plain and simple. Our text today is intended to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. We will discover how leaders lead by example. We will discover how the church is supposed to behave in the household of God. We will discover how the kingdom of light is advancing throughout the entire world. We will also discover the cost of discipleship. We will discover how to walk and live by faith as children of the light. It might help to think of it like this. If the church is being built up according to God's will and God's way, leaders in each community will be demonstrating how to live as children of the light for others to follow. Remember what the prophet Hosea said, like people, like priests. The people go where they're being led, right? If the people are being led nowhere, right, the people are going nowhere. If the community is built upon sinking sand, it will collapse. Likewise, if the people are being led to submit to the Lord Jesus and to follow his example, then the people will be equipped for the work of ministry, right, and be built up in the body of Christ. If the community is being built upon the rock, it will stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, in our text today, the Apostle Paul lays out four ways in which we walk as children of the light. The four ways are: serve the Lord, build the church, his church, evangelize the lost, and self-sacrifice. But don't take my word for it. Hear the voice of our Lord and God, as it is written. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews." Now, the Apostle Paul is speaking here, and he's saying very clearly to the elders at Ephesus, "You saw me and you heard me. You saw me serve the Lord in humility. You saw me persevering through trials." Paul set the example on how to serve the Lord. In other words, Paul was not a hindrance to the Lord, because the fruit of faithful obedience speaks for itself. Leaders lead by example, bearing fruit of faithful obedience, plain and simple. Now let's dive a little deeper here with this text to hear how Paul served the Lord with all humility. That phrase, serving the Lord, is an unfortunate English translation from the original Greek text. The original Greek text says, "Douleu kurios." Not that I expect you to know what that means, but words matter. Words matter. In this case, they are vital for us to grasp the example Paul set so we can properly follow this example, right, on how to submit to the Lord Jesus. So in the Greek text here, Paul is saying this to the elders: "You saw me. You heard me. Be a slave to my master Jesus." Let that sink in. You saw me and you heard me. Be a slave to my master Jesus, says the Apostle Paul to the elders at Ephesus. Now that has a very different ring to it than simply saying Paul served the Lord, doesn't it? It's really quite simple. Submitting to the Lord as your supreme authority means that Jesus is your master. It is the duty of a slave to obey their master. Now, in this case, Paul leads by example. You saw me and you heard me, says Paul, being a slave to my master, Jesus. Now, the common stumbling block, one of the most common stumbling blocks for submitting to Jesus, is pride. Pride, which is why Paul says that he was a slave to Jesus in all humility. Humility is the key. It is essential for us to walk in faithful obedience to the Lord. In humility, we submit to the Lord Jesus. Humility is a daily posture for discipleship. Now, Paul is also bringing up something else. He's bringing up tears and trials, which we're going to dive into a little bit more a few verses later. But for now, I want us to think about something. I want us to think about something about that cross that Jesus told us to pick up. Let's think about this. Do you think that picking up an instrument used for torture, the cross, right, is going to be easy? Do you think that picking up your cross daily is going to be without challenges or difficulties and trials? There is a cost to discipleship. As children of the light, we should never expect tears and trials to be missed, right? These things come. We know this. We expect them. Hear the words from the Apostle James. Count it all joy. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Count it all joy, he says. So in his clear voice, as I can say, serve the Lord in all humility, and you will encounter various trials, challenges, difficulties, and tribulations. These things come. They will test the genuineness of your faith. Jesus suffered many things, didn't he? The prophets suffered many things, didn't they? The apostles suffered many things. Evangelists, shepherds, and teachers suffer many things. There's a cost to discipleship. And as children of the light, we should expect tears and trials to come our way. But don't take my word for it. Listen to the voice of God. One of the most profound stories in the book of Acts, again from the Apostle Paul. This is after he was nearly stoned to death. They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Now that phrase might not seem like much, but it's part of a much larger story. You see, Paul and some of those around him went to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, and they started to preach the gospel. And then Paul got stoned nearly to death. And the next day, the very next day after Paul nearly died, he returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. And what did he do there? He preached the gospel again. Think about that for a moment. Paul returns the very next day at the same place where he was nearly killed to preach the gospel. What kind of person does that? Someone who's convinced that Jesus is his Lord. Leaders lead by example. Back to our story with Paul and the elders at Ephesus. I'm sorry, not yet. There's more from Paul here. Verse 22, so we're in Iconium. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. You see, the example Paul set for those around him strengthened the souls of the disciples. He encouraged them to continue, to persevere. We know the honest truth is that many tribulations come. And it's through these tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God, because the genuineness of our faith is tested. The first step is picking up our crosses to humbly submit ourselves before the Lord, our master. In order to walk as children of light, we serve the Lord, right? Being enslaved to our master. Paul led by example. And he told the elders at Ephesus to do the same. Okay, so now back to that conversation with the elders at Ephesus. Verse 20. Paul speaking again. How I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. This is so important for us to hear. Especially because we're living in a time where tolerance seems to be the chief virtue and truth is subjected to our own personal feelings and opinions. Right? We're living in a time that anyone who takes a stand for the objective truth is quickly labeled as being unloving. Listen to me very carefully and listen to the words that the Apostle Paul is saying to the elders at Ephesus. You saw me and you heard me, Paul says, not shrink back. You saw me and you heard me, not shrink back from speaking to you anything that was profitable. Paul did not cower. Paul did not waver under the pressure of speaking the truth. Paul was not a coward. Paul understood that in order for the church to stand against the schemes of the devil, it must be built upon the solid rock, upon the truth revealed in Scripture. Listen to me very carefully. Paul is telling the leaders in each community, you have a responsibility from God to build up the body, Christ's body, according to God's ways, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into every way into him who is the head, into Christ. This is how Paul built up the community at Ephesus. He's telling the elders to do the same. Don't shrink back. Do not cower. Speak the truth in love, because it is only upon the rock we will grow up into every way into Christ. Truth, the word of God, is supposed to be held at a premium in church communities. Why? Why, do you ask? Because we don't partner with the devil? That's why. The church is supposed to have no fellowship with the devil whatsoever. None of it. So allow me to be as clear as possible. When he, the devil, lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The church of the living God, on the other hand, is the pillar and buttress of the truth. There is a line, a distinction between the light and the darkness. And as children of the light, we walk in the light. We walk in the light of truth. And when we speak the truth in love. Look at the example that Jesus gave us. Jesus lived in the truth and he spoke the truth. Same can be said about the prophets and the apostles. The same is supposed to be said about the evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, so that the church can be built up according to God's ways and not human ways. Leaders lead by example, bearing fruit of faithful obedience. You should ask yourselves this very simple question. Do you want to be built upon sinking sand that will fall against the schemes of the devil? Or do you want to be built upon the rock that the gates of hell shall not prevail against? If you want to be built up upon the rock, then you will not allow lies to spread through our community like gangrene. Don't take my word for it. Listen to the voice of our God. As it is written, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. As the pillar and buttress of the church, the church is not supposed to tolerate lies and deceptive schemes. We destroy them. Remember, light has no fellowship with darkness. This is what Paul is communicating very clearly to the elders at Ephesus. You saw me and you heard me. Not shrink back from speaking the truth to you in love. Leaders, lead by example. Verse 21. Testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus. Right? Service to the Lord is our first focus. Building the church is our second focus, and evangelizing the lost is our third focus. Now take notice of the phrase Paul uses. To teach the elders how to evangelize the lost. Repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus. Repentance and faith go hand in hand. Now, a couple things we might be wondering about evangelizing the lost. One of them, of course, is how far we should go. How far should we go to evangelize the lost? And I'll give you back to our words of focus today. What is the example we have set before us? How far did Jesus go, I wonder, to save the world from sin, death, and the devil? Came a long way, didn't he? From his throne in heaven to the earth? How far did the apostles go to save the lost? The short answer is that the apostles led by example with the Great Commission, taking this good news to all the nations and all the world. Right, remember what Jesus told Peter, right? We are not a hindrance to the Lord Jesus building his church if our minds are set on the things of God. Right, so then, if our minds are set on the lost, right, rescuing those who are being led away to death, how do we prioritize evangelizing the lost? Right, remember, our priorities for the church must reflect God's priorities. But again, don't take my word for it. Listen to the voice of our Lord and God, as is written. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God's priorities, what God wants, is that no one should perish. No one on the whole planet. Are your priorities set on the things of God, or are they set on the things of men? Now, there's many ways that we go about evangelizing the lost, right? Each and every time is unique because each and every person is unique. But if you're not calling people to repent towards God and placing their faith in Jesus Christ, you are not communicating the gospel clearly. Repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ go hand in hand. Now, here's the thing. God has entrusted the church with a message. Right, the good news, right? The good news of salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. We have absolutely no control over whatsoever with how people respond to the Word of God. We are simply stewards, right? We steward this divine truth revealed in Scripture. Right? The only thing that we can control is whether or not we steward this gospel message accurately and lovingly. Right, we speak the truth in love, which means I want to be very clear about something else. This is really a warning. There is only one true gospel. You must be certain, absolutely certain, that you are communicating the gospel message revealed through Scripture accurately and lovingly. Because you are being held accountable for the words that you speak. If there is a false conversion, their blood is on your hands. More on that to come later. Again, Paul is clearly speaking to the elders at Ephesus, right? You saw me and you heard me. Evangelize the lost. You saw me and you heard me. Leaders, lead by example. Verse 22, and now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Boy. Service to the Lord, our first focus, right? Building the church, our second focus. Evangelizing the lost, our third focus. And self-sacrifice is our fourth focus. Again, I've said it before, leaders lead by example. Jesus did not ask anything from his followers that he wouldn't do himself. Likewise, the apostles don't ask anything of the church that they wouldn't do themselves. This is the example we have as the church, right? To walk as children of the light. Following the example the apostles set as they followed the Lord Jesus. Now, I want us to think about something. What kind of person do you think you would be if this statement were true about you? Right, imagine yourself, right? What kind of person would you need to be in order for this to be true about you? I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself. If only I may finish the course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You think Paul's mind was set on the things of God? Absolutely. Is this how you view your life in service towards God? This is what Paul considered to be successful, right? Not according to the world's standards of success, money, wealth, property. This is what Paul considered to be successful. Think about that. We need to be very clear in the direction that we are going so that we are not a hindrance to the Lord. Our Lord's way is found in the light, so our way must also be found in the light. Allow me to point something else out from this section of Scripture from the Apostle Paul. So the beginning of verse 22, he says this, "And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem constrained by the Spirit." Isn't that an interesting image, to be constrained by the Spirit? Paul is saying that he is bound up. He's bound by the Spirit. It could even be translated as like being tied up into the Spirit, right? Paul is in step with what the Spirit is doing. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you willing to go where the Spirit of God is leading you? I want you to think about that. Put yourself in the Apostle Paul's shoes. Are you willing to keep in step with what the Spirit is doing, knowing ahead of time that suffering awaited you? That's what Paul told us. Nothing but suffering and afflictions await him, and yet he's constrained to go anyway because his life is of no value. He wants to finish the course of ministry set before him. I want you to think about something else, about the example we have set before us. Are you willing to keep up in step with the Spirit, right? Knowing that suffering awaited you. What did Jesus do? What did the apostles do? What did the prophets do, right? This is the example we have in Scripture, people willingly picking up their crosses to follow the truth. Are you bold enough to pray this prayer? Father, you are my Lord and my Master. Wherever you want me to go, anywhere in the world, my life is of no value to myself. I will go willingly wherever you place me. For your glory and namesake alone, that I may finish my course of ministry set before me, that I received from you, precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to testify to the world of the gospel of the great God of the universe. Amen. Now, verse 25, again from Paul. "And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink back. I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Right, Paul is leaving. Right, this much we've gathered so far. But we hear something else. Paul is speaking about this blood of innocence. This has a direct connection to the words the Lord spoke to the prophet Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel, you can find that in Ezekiel chapter 3. Now remember what I said about evangelizing the lost. We have absolutely no control over how people respond to the word of God, but we do control how we steward the message. The only thing that we can control is whether or not we steward God's divine revelation truthfully and lovingly. Paul is telling the elders here at Ephesus that he has done that. Right? Paul is saying very clearly, I did not hold anything back from you. Nothing is a secret. I did not cower. I told you the truth, and I did so in love. You saw me and you heard me declare to you the whole counsel of God. Now, since I told you everything, this is Paul speaking, since I told you everything, the whole counsel of God, your response now is on you. You won't be able to say on the day of the Lord that you did not know what you should be doing. You heard the truth, Paul says. You heard it. And now your response is yours. Your response to the word of God is yours. Now, this talk of this blood of innocent is deeply, deeply profound. So allow me to speak a little bit more about this subject to hopefully clarify. Paul is intimately connected with the people at Ephesus, right? Not just sharing in the same Lord and Spirit, but also connected to the people at Ephesus as being held accountable for them, right? Think of it like this. Let's do the contrast. Like, let's imagine that Paul lied to the people at Ephesus, right? He just spoke blasphemous lies to them, right? Let's imagine that Paul shrunk back from speaking the truth in love. God would hold Paul responsible for the people's blood. That is because it's not disobedience as much as it is ignorance. Right? People, we don't know how to pick up our crosses and to submit to the Lord Jesus and follow his example. That is until we are shown and told how to do it. This is what Paul is telling the people at Ephesus. He's like, look, guys, I showed you. I told you. And now, of course, due to the fact that Paul is not a liar, he is an apostle, he held nothing back, right? He didn't shrink back from speaking them to the truth. Paul showed them and told them how to submit to the Lord Jesus and to follow his example. Now Paul is free from their blood, right? The community at Ephesus has no excuse not to obey the word of God. Verse 28, more advice from Paul. Sweeter than honey, these words of God are. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Now here we get something else, and I want to make it perfectly clear. God loves his church. God loves his church. If you have not grasped that from Scripture, I'm going to tell you again. God loves his church. You are not my people. We collectively are God's people. Which is why Paul is saying very clearly to the elders, pay careful attention to yourselves. Right, first to yourselves, that you are leading by example. Pay attention to your own conduct and lifestyle, because the flock of God that's been entrusted to you are in your care. Now, I remember a conversation I had with a very dear brother of mine back in California. And we were talking about the church, and we were talking about this idea of being built upon sinking sand or being built upon the rock. And we started to comparing it to a ship at sea. It's kind of an interesting image. right? We were discussing how church communities, right, if they're built upon sinking sand, act and look like some kind of Disney cruise liner, right? Where people come, they eat, drink, they get married, not realizing that there's a spiritual war going all around us for people's souls. Right, you see, Disney cruise liners, right, they're set up to draw a crowd, right, to entertain the masses and to make money. And we began discussing how church communities being built upon the rock should view themselves more like a battleship. Right, a battleship. Battleships are full of people, soldiers, who recognize that they are soldiers, soldiers for Christ, that there is a spiritual war going on all around us, and that we're being prepared accordingly. And how do we prepare for this spiritual war that's around us? We serve the Lord, we build the church, we evangelize the lost, and we do it self-sacrificially. Now, I want to be very clear about this. The adversary and his little minions do not want people to submit to the Lord Jesus. The adversary and his little minions do not want church communities to be built upon the truth of the rock. The adversary does not want the church to evangelize the lost. The adversary does not want you to sacrifice your life for the sake of the gospel. Spiritual warfare is real. We have a real opponent in the world. And we would be wise if we donned the whole armor of God. But don't take my word for it. Listen to the voice of God. Verse 29, again from Paul, still speaking to the elders. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. This is not a Disney cruise liner. Paul says, therefore, be alert. Remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands minister to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all these things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. In order to walk as children of the light, our minds must be set on the things of God. We humbly serve the Lord Jesus. We build Jesus' church his way. We evangelize the lost. We do that self-sacrificially, picking up our crosses daily for the sake of the gospel. Please join me in prayer. Father, you know in my heart that there was a moment when I began reading scripture thinking to myself that everything in my life must change in order for me to serve you. I ask that that clarity happen today, right now, with this group of people here. That their eyes be open to the wondrous things revealed in your holy scripture. That service to the Lord is the most glorious, marvelous, blessed opportunity that any of us have in this life. Our lives are but a fleeting mist. And we ask that you grant us this clarity, that you open the eyes of our heart, Lord, to the hope to which you've called us, that we can see what it is that you are doing here, how your kingdom is coming from heaven to earth, how we can see that we do not need help from the devil to advance your kingdom, Father. Help us recognize that grace is sufficient and that power is made perfect in weakness. Help us humble ourselves before your throne of grace, Father, seeing that you are magnificent and worthy of our lives being sacrificed to you. Help us have a bigger understanding of our role within the whole world in building up the body of Christ and in evangelizing the lost, and how these things you want deeply to happen, Father. Help us recognize that your priorities must reflect our priorities. Our priorities must reflect your priorities. Father, how you want your church to be built up, help us want the same thing from deep into the fiber of our beings. Help us recognize that people who are lost and far from you are being led away to death. Despite the outward appearance that they may be happy and joyful and being successful in all the world standards, help us recognize that you don't want anybody to perish. Help us recognize how far you came to save us and how much you love us, Father, with the demonstration of the cross, that be our example and our guide with how far we should be willing to go. Help us recognize the Great Commission still applies to us in this small country town in Harbor Springs. Help us recognize that the power of the Holy Spirit is within us and that only by proclaiming the word of truth we can shed light into this dark corner of the world. For your glory and namesake, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.